It's Spoiler in Time, folks. This is the show where myself, Tom Merritt, and my co-host, Brian Brushwood, break down some shows we've been watching. Thanks to all the hard work we do on our other show, Cord Killers, that lets us find these shows and know how to watch them. This week, we'll be spoilering The Larry Sanders Show, The 14th Floor, and Next Stop Bottom, Westworld, Episode 7 of Season 3, and the 5th season finale of Better Call Saul. That's Season 5, Episode 10. As I mentioned, am Tom Merritt. He's Brian Brushwood.
Doggone right. And of course, our producer extraordinaire is Bryce Neshcom Castillo. Are we jumping in with Saul? Is that where we're starting here?
Doing it.
Let's spoil episode 10, season 5, the finale of season 5, for Better Call Saul. How did you feel, Brian, about the way we have left things at the end of season 5?
This was a really good episode to the end of a surprisingly good season. Now, if I say surprisingly good, it implies that I thought it would not be good. It was surprising because I couldn't conceive that there was much more story to tell between what we knew. Like, in my mind, after season four, I was you know, kind of hot or cold on. But once we lost Chuck, I was like, what's the point? He becomes Saul Goodman. That's the end of it. Wow, have I been proven wrong. This has been an extraordinary season of storytelling. They have found new depths and new crevices for us to explore. This episode in particular, I really loved the parallel because we saw two characters who we like a lot. We watched both of them overplay their hands, and I don't think both of them can win. We saw Nacho overplay his hand by using, thank you very much, a scam school trick to cut up a soda can and to make a shim to open a padlock that to let in assassins. We saw Lalo on an incredible Counter-Strike Go level end run where he escapes, leaves the escape hatch open so that everyone could think he escapes, runs back in and just diehards all of the assassins, finds out that Nacho's betrayed him.
It was so fun when he is pulling the hatch down and you see him stop and then push it back up. And it was very clear, like, oh no, I'm definitely, they're not trying to hide the fact that he means to leave that open. So I was immediately focused and like, okay, what's his plan? What is he doing? He obviously wants them to follow him. Like, you know, where's he going to go? How's this going to work? And that was so fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and not only that, but one of those most glorious of gifts is it was one of those moments where I found myself crossing my arms saying like, all right, where's this headed? What are you up to? And it pays off. It pays off when you figure out, oh my God, he means to intentionally lead
them. He's just going to run straight back. I did not guess that.
Did you? No, not at all. Not at all. Also, before we talk about the other overplayed hand, I guess there have been some articles about, Bryce, you were saying that Lalo, the guy who plays Lalo, was like in the Mexican version of Jackass or something?
That's something that I heard. And I know the thing that I heard is that he wanted to do the stunt where Lalo jumped off the cliff onto Saul's overturned car, and they would not let him. They had to use a stuntman.
Do you remember that monster jump that he did down? Mm-hmm. It was a lot.
He did do the other jump where he smashed through the ceiling and killed the wire transfer clerk. That was him.
Wow.
Doing that real jump. But he's got the chops, man.
Not only that, he's got that ultra. He's that older, awesome looking cousin that you had that walks into the room with that alpha male wolfish grin and just owns everything. And the more time we spend with him, I didn't read the article. This is what an old man I've become. I didn't read the article, but I saw the headline where Vince Gilligan was saying he's ashamed that he ever for a second had a doubt about the actor who plays Lalo because he's been amazing. And I couldn't agree more. I mean, he's been fantastic the whole time through.
So we have Nacho overplaying his hand, and it's very clear that now Lalo is going to know what Nacho did. Nacho's not going to get away with this. There's going to be a lot of suspicion on Nacho. What's the other overplayed hand you wanted to talk about?
Kim Wexler, man. There were two moments that really hit me hard. One was there was nothing better than Hamlin cornering Kim and saying, hey man, I gotta tell you about Jimmy McGill. And especially because we've had this building theme of like, okay, well, what was a transgression before they got married versus after? How much is disclosure? What does he tell? And he finally gets to that place where he tells, you know, pretty much the whole story of what happened down at the border. And so it feels like a tenuous partnership between the two of them. And then Hamlin corners her and says, he threw bowling balls and did prostitutes or whatever. And I felt that full tension. And I was like, God, I don't know. And then when she burst out laughing, I burst out laughing. It was delicious. That moment that is just like, this is my partner who I married, and you're coming at me with what clearly was an effective strategy from him. Who are you even? I don't understand. Yeah. And what's weird is it was delightful because I felt like in that moment, Kim and Jimmy were closer than they'd ever been. By the end of the episode, I was afraid because they were closer than they've ever been. And we've established Jimmy is good at Jimmy stuff. Kim enjoys the taste of dabbling in Jimmy stuff. Not very good at it. She's a spectator, and I am. Here's my prediction as of this moment. Nacho gets away because of Mike Ehrmantraut. I think Nacho's in serious trouble, and Mike Ehrmantraut facilitates their escape.
Mike kind of telegraphed that by saying, he's not going to get out of this. You know, it's not going to be easy. So he knows, and he's preparing for that. We know that.
Kim Wexler gets disbarred and is working at a Waffle House. And that's how we see her at the beginning or by the end of next season. That's how Jimmy McGill encounters her, is broken and destroyed and angry beyond words at him and their failed heist attempt to mess with Hamlin. In order to get, because the motivations are different. Everything has been sport between Kim and Jimmy up until this moment. This is straight up, I would like $2 million. Would you like to commit fraud? I mean, if you're thinking about maybe committing fraud for money, I will support you as your wife. We've never, ever seen that from Kim up until that point, which tells me that's unforgivable and she will suffer a terrible fate.
What's beautiful about this is things that made me wonder about Kim and Jimmy are coming to fruition in a beautiful way that solidifies everything so that I know exactly what's going on with Kim and Jimmy right now. Back in the day, Kim was always like, no, Jimmy, you can't do that, which made me think, well, the ultimate fate of Kim Wexler obviously is going to be honorable. She's going to be the one who just can't go quite as far as Jimmy. But they also gave us those kind of confusing moments where Jimmy was explaining the cons and they did those sort of harmless things at the bar. And Kim was like, well, we're not really going to go through with it. And Jimmy, you see, you think, oh, it's Jimmy who wants to go through with it. And it's like, oh no, of course not. But what I'm realizing now is that every character in Better Call Saul is Breaking Bad. We knew Jimmy McGill was Breaking Bad because he ends up as Saul Goodman. We knew that Mike Ehrmantraut was Breaking Bad because he ends up going from being an ex-cop to Fring's minion. We didn't know Kim Wexler would be Breaking Bad, and now we're seeing it.
Oh,
we're seeing
God.
Her getting a taste. We're seeing the growth of her character from, no, why would I do that? To, you know what? That money is actually going to make it so I can do good. I can be a public defender. I don't have to work for Schweikert and Coakley. You know, we could make a lot more of that money and we wouldn't have to be involved in the drug trade because Jimmy can, you know what? Maybe we should try this. And I think what we're going to see next year, next season, is Kim pushing this and Jimmy being a little unwilling and it falling apart. Like you say, she gets disbarred and I think she moves back to Nebraska.
Yes. Which again ties into, you know, the black and white future forward scenario.
Yeah, totally.
Now, I love your couching of each character as breaking bad in their own way, but we're seeing characters breaking good. Certainly Gus is breaking good up the ladder of success, but we're seeing Nacho breaking good morally in trying to get out. Like every
he's fighting the currents. Yeah, yeah.
That's totally. Right.
Because of his dad, mostly.
Yes, yes. No, no, no. And regardless of the cause, like, I mean, someone's dad being at risk is the proximate cause. It's the excuse, but it's the, you know, the soul wanting to go one direction or another. Like Nacho wants out.
I don't think he succeeds though, which means he'll end up broken bad.
I think he does. I think my evidence is we have two parallel stories, and my simple question is which will be more painful for me to watch fail. And the answer is Kim Wexler. I'd shrug at Nacho. I was like, well, he was in the game. But Kim Wexler, I just watched a toddler touch a hot stove, and it will be very painful for me to see her suffer full repercussions of that. And so it makes me feel, and I don't think you can get away with pooping on both. In a way. I mean, with this show, who knows? I mean they're good at everything.
One thing that I'd almost forgotten is the end of the Lalo Nacho bit is Lalo forcing one of the assassins to report him as dead.
Oh, that's interesting.
In order to lure everyone into thinking that the mission was a success, and they stopped looking for him, giving him latitude to work a little more.
So what does that buy them, though? Because
it buys Lalo the ability to go after Nacho now.
Oh, like a hunt. Like,
and he can find out that Gus is behind all of this. Because right now he doesn't get to know about Gus.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So based on... Yeah. Okay. So it's like a poison seed of information that he puts out there.
Yeah. Anything else on Better Call Saul?
It's beautiful. The cinematography on there, the location shoots, the composition of background focus, you know, like at Lalo's compound, the way they have the uplight on all the trees and everything. Every shot is perfectly balanced that to feel big and luxurious and not at all dated, even though this takes place nearly 20 years ago. It's extraordinary. It deserves all the praise that this series gets.
I did think it was goofy, Lalo shooting down the tunnel with one hand upside down, arm dangling down.
Yeah.
I thought that was goofiness that the show normally doesn't do.
Didn't feel very goofy to the guys getting shot, did it, Bryce?
But it did effectively convey that from a position of safety, he was able to slaughter everyone. Sure. But you're right. I agree. It was a bit like a 80s action movie, like, just sweep left and
say
right.
Say hello to my
fine.
Little friend.
Yeah, exactly.
all right. That's Better Call Saul, season 5, episode 10.